And we're back with another episode of Red Cup News, where we give you the news and drink beer. In this case, I'm actually in a hookah lounge. I thought I'd change up the status quo a little bit and replace the beer with hookah. I don't know if you can hear the hookah. Maybe a little. It didn't look like it was picking up on anything. But we're going to hop right into some political news for this week's episode. So you probably already heard there was a huge attack in Egypt, where over 200 were killed, and it's kind of an interesting concept because it seems that the group responsible for it is ISIS affiliated, and it's one of the first times that ISIS or one of their affiliates have actually gone after a fellow Arab Muslim country. What was interesting about it, what's going on over here, is that President Donald Trump appeared to use the deadliest terror attack in Egypt's modern history to push again two of his domestic security proposals. Once again, he's bringing up the travel ban that he tried implementing and that he did implement before, but was actually turned down. That was put to halt by the courts in Hawaii. So he wants to bring that back, and now he's once again pushing for the wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. So this is a tweet that he posted. We have to get tougher and smarter than ever before, and we will. Need the wall, need the ban. So yeah, I mean, the attack was terrible. No doubt about that. But now it seems like he's using it as an excuse to reinforce his own political agenda. Which, it might not be the best thing. He also tweeted, we'll be calling the president of Egypt in a short while to discuss the tragic terrorist attack with so much loss of life. God bless the people of Egypt. So, I mean, that was a pretty good gesture over there, saying that he's going to call them and talk to the leader and just make sure everything's okay and how we can help. But Trump has demanded that Congress fund the wall project, but it's pretty unclear if Republican leaders will even back the proposal and potentially risk a government shutdown over it. And then, as I said before, the courts have been frustrated by Trump by repeatedly blocking his travel ban executive orders, with the latest barring entry to the U.S. to people from six Muslim-majority countries. The countries are Iran, Libya, Somalia, Yemen, Syria, and Chad. But last week, an appeals court partially reinstated the latest iteration of the travel ban. So, you know, there's always so much political red tape, you know, bureaucratic process that they must go through. Is it on? Is it off? Is it off? Is it on? There's really don't know until the last minute. Let's move on to something a little bit lighter. I guess wouldn't say that much lighter, but I found an article by Anthony Ferranti, written November 24th, that the cyber war is our era's Cuban Missile Crisis. We need to de-escalate now. So earlier this year, you might have heard America's most famous investor, Warren Buffett, characterized cyber attacks as a bigger threat to humanity than nuclear weapons. And then he went ahead and called them the number one problem with mankind. Buffett, he's self-described as, you know, he calls himself a cyber threats neophyte. So the nation finds itself in a situation comparable to the Cuban Missile Crisis of 55 years ago. I'm sure everybody knows what the Cuban Missile Crisis is or was. If you don't know, it lasted about 13 days. It was a confrontation between the United States and the Soviet Union because the Soviet Union had ballistic missiles in Cuba. And at the same time, America had missiles in Italy and Turkey, so they're pretty much both on each other's, you know, doorstep with nuclear bombs. And it was kind of like, you take it down, no, you take it down, we're going to fire, no, we'll fire. And then luckily the world avoided probably the biggest disaster that would have ever come their way, and it de-escalated. But the big thing with this article is the similarities between cyber and nuclear weapons. So both of these attacks are capable of imposing catastrophic consequences on, you know, our critical national assets, with quick delivery times unimpeded by geographic boundaries. Conflicts between our nation and other countries, such as Russia and North Korea, dominate the headlines pretty much every day. So I would argue that the global landscape we live in has become increasingly digitized, and this increased cyber connectivity is changing the nature of the threats we face. Well, back in October, there was a report that surfaced that hackers linked to North Korea targeted American electric utilities. The ability to impact national critical infrastructure by either taking it offline or weaponizing it constitutes a very real threat. So I think the biggest thing is, you know, with the Cuban Missile Crisis, you knew who was behind it, you know, where they were, you know, Soviet Union in Cuba. But now it could be coming from anywhere. It could be coming from, you know, North Korea, like I said earlier. It could be coming from China. It could be hackers in their own country. So the enemy is a lot more unknown, which I find really interesting. Another thing that kind of ties into this is artificial intelligence. So Elon Musk has gone on record, you know, dozens of times saying that, you know, artificial intelligence is going to rise up. I don't know if you've seen the movie Terminator. There's this whole thing in there about Skynet, and then how Skynet was kind of like their connectivity in the movie, and then it becomes aware, and then it pretty much declares war on humankind. So Hillary Clinton actually went out, you know, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was on a radio show with Hewitt, and then she said that humanity is racing headfirst into a new era of artificial intelligence without sufficient preparations of how it will impact the world. Like I said, she named Elon Musk, Bill Gates, Stephen Hawking. She said a lot of really smart people are sounding an alarm that we're not hearing. And their alarm is artificial intelligence is not our friend. It can assist us in many ways if it is properly understood and contained. But we are racing headfirst into a new era of artificial intelligence that is going to have dramatic effects on how we live, how we think, and how we relate to each other. AI, if you're unfamiliar, is pretty much, it's an attempt to stimulate the human intelligence process. So ideally, the machines would be learning, reasoning, and self-correcting. And the technology has advanced rapidly in recent years. They have like automated stock trading now. They have the home assistants, like the Alexa from Amazon, the Google Dot by Google. But at the same time, the evolution of AI has led to fears that AI could eventually surpass human understanding. And at that point, you have humans kind of in a subservient position to machines. It's kind of an interesting construct because, you know, we've dominated the planet for thousands of years. So we could be inadvertently leading to something that could challenge us in that. So I definitely look forward to where this is going to go. They're pretty small alarms right now. Eventually it could become a real thing. People could try to halt it. So that's pretty much this week's of Red Cup News, this week's episode. This is an interesting one. It's kind of thought stimulating in the sense that, you know, take what I said about the artificial intelligence, take what I've said about the hacking, and just kind of come up with your own thoughts, opinions about it, and just let me know. So I'll see you next week on Red Cup News.